Well, tonight's not a Christmas message, but it's still one that we need to hear. And we're going to go back to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. And in this passage that we're looking at tonight, we're going to move from the theological to the personal side of Paul's life. You know, you see many of these news reports where they say we're going to get the inside scoop now on how such and such lives and such famous person. Well, in essence, we're going to get a little bit of the inside story on how things worked with Paul and the men and the people that worked with him. The inside scoop, so to speak. It's going to be much more personal as Paul describes his spiritual pride in a good way for two young men that are serving faithfully and that are still useful for him. But he does it with a purpose. He wants to give the people of Philippi information specifically about one young man who we'll talk about in a minute. But he's still emphasizing in the midst of this personal discussion the need for selfless sacrifice. For God's people to not be constantly only looking at themselves, but looking at the needs of others around them, and thus being unified when we're worried about the needs of those around us. Even as we're talking about helping out Reed and other people, we're looking, we're noticing, we're aware of others' needs. That helps us to minister together in a more unified sense. Paul has instructed the believers in Philippi to be this way. He's given them that wonderful ultimate example of the humility of Jesus Christ. And now he's going to encourage them further with the example of two young men that the believers know well. And he's going to again emphasize the great value of selfless, loving ministry. And the title of this tonight is The Value of Dedicated Servants. Paul is going to mention two young men, as he gives this description here. But he's also referring to something specifically that happened that the Holy Spirit used as the beginning or the motivation for him to write this letter in the first place. Let me give you this time frame so that we have an understanding of this as we get into this passage about how this all started. There was a young man named Epaphroditus. And he was sent from Philippi. He was ministering. He seems to be a faithful leader, member of the church there in Philippi. And so they instructed him and trusted him with a love offering to go and take to Paul to help Paul in his need, in his time of need and suffering. So Epaphroditus went, and probably some others along with him, because he was carrying money, and it's not wise to go by yourself on a journey when you're carrying money, especially at this time. Probably had some other young men with him. And another reason they sent him is it seems as if, we're not sure about this, but there's a good chance that Paul is about ready to have his trial pretty soon, where he would find out whether he would remain in prison or whether he would be released. And the people of Philippi wanted to know, and so they wanted Epaphroditus to stay and find out what happened and let them know. Because, of course, back then they didn't have iPhones and other ways of communication. There was no texting, no Instagram messaging or anything like this. They had to wait for people to bring news, so they would send them. He was going to do that, but the problem was that on the way, Epaphroditus got really sick, and we'll see this in a few minutes. And word was sent back to Philippi, Epaphroditus is very sick. But he continued to go on anyway. He makes it to Rome, and he stays with Paul while he's recovering. So Paul receives the love gift from the Philippian church, but he also finds out about some things that disturb him, about some grumbling and dissension in the church. And Paul is greatly concerned for the future of gospel ministry because of this, and we talked about this last week in the passage where he warns them, don't grumble, don't get involved in arguments or the idea of constantly questioning authority. And what I'm saying by that doesn't mean that you can't ever ask questions of your leadership in a church. Of course not. We want to hear from you. The leaders want to get feedback. But this is an attitude that Paul's referring to that's constantly questioning just to stir things up. And even after a matter has been settled, somebody still isn't on board, they're not unified, and they keep asking questions, and they keep stirring things up. And Paul says, that kind of attitude, that doesn't help unity. It doesn't help the purpose of the gospel going forward. And Epaphroditus brings him word that there's some trouble with that in the Philippian church, and he's concerned about that. With that in mind, let's read what he says about these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and then we'll pray together. Chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow servant, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants or my needs. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation or in good honor. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Father, help us to be encouraged, but also convicted about the examples of these faithful, diligent young men who served Paul faithfully and who served, more importantly, Jesus Christ faithfully. Because we're always looking outward. Instead of constantly being concerned about their own needs, Lord, they were looking towards the needs of others. And you made them highly valued because of their faithful service. Lord, may it be said of each and every one of us here that our service is highly valued because we love other people and we love Jesus. All this we ask in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So as we begin this passage, and Paul is going to describe through Timothy's and Epaphroditus' example the value of dedicated servants. And first of all, he's going to show us that dedicated selfless service is of great value. Dedicated selfless service, when we're focused not so much on ourselves but on the needs of others, that is of great value in the church and to God. And Timothy is valuable because of his selflessness. Now here's what's going on. As Paul in verse 19, instead of going immediately to the situation about Epaphroditus, he's so concerned about the state of the gospel in the ministry in Philippi because of these things that are going on, his mind first goes to Timothy. And he's saying in these verses, I'm going to try to get Timothy out to see you as soon as possible. Because since he's sending back Epaphroditus right away, he wants Timothy to send the information about how his trial went. But it seems as Paul also wants to make sure, make doubly sure, that as he encourages these people to be unified and serve and minister together, that they're really going to do that. And so he wants to send Timothy as an encouragement to them to make sure that that is going on. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul wanted to be sure in this verse that his letter was received well. He was going to be sending this letter that he's writing here, the letter Philippians, with Epaphroditus. Later on, he wants to send Timothy to make sure that that letter was understood and that it had a good reception. And that the gospel ministry of the church was not being hindered. That the grumbling and questioning and all of this had ceased. Paul is concerned above all else, even as he's describing the faithful service of these young men, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ministry, be unhindered. Paul says, that's the most important thing above all else. And that's why I'm going to send Timothy to you soon, to make sure. You know, as a side note, we sometimes kind of just accept grumbling and questioning and complaining, dissension, kind of just a way of life among people. People just argue. People just disagree sometimes. But in the church, Paul's reminding us that we can't be lackadaisical for that. Grumbling and complaining and questioning, all these kinds of things can throw a wrench in faith ministry service. It can damage the church's reputation. All it does is one visitor to come in within our meeting together and see somebody complaining or somebody out of sorts. To themselves, well, that's already how I act on a regular basis. What do I need what they have here? I do that normally at home. And not to see a change and a difference as the love of Jesus Christ works among us. Yes, do we have differences? Yes. We may, as we meet together tonight for this meeting tonight, we may have differences of opinion. God's done some great things, and we're really glad, thankful to share these things with us tonight. But when you have a meeting, you have different opinions and different things. But in the end, it shows the work and the power of God that a group of people can get together and still be unified and still serve God faithfully, even though they have differences of opinion and think different ways. It's important for us to be unified, to not grumble, to not let these types of things hurt our unity and hurt our ministry. And Paul is so concerned about this, he's saying, I'm going to get Timothy out there as soon as I can to make sure that everything's going okay. Why Timothy? Well, verse 20, because I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Here he's saying that I don't have anyone else that I can trust like I can trust Timothy. And you might think that he's comparing Timothy to all the other young men, maybe even Epaphroditus, who are serving him and saying, you know what, all these guys do a good job, but man, they can't hold a candle to Timothy. That's not really what he's saying. I mean, it's a possibility, but I really don't think Paul would do that. Paul is always so thankful for all the service and the people that helped him. I think what Paul is doing here is, if you'll remember, in our study a number of months back, we talked, or Paul talked, about a group of individuals that were giving the gospel out, but they were doing it to get back at Paul and for their own selfish reasons. Do you remember that? I think Paul is saying, you know what? I've got a lot of people around me right now that are being evangelistic, that are doing church service, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. And even though the gospel is going out, they're not trustworthy because of their motives and the way and their attitudes. I can't trust them for the really important things in ministry that I need done. That's interesting. I think that's a rebuke to those, and we should note that. That earlier when Paul was talking about them, he said, you know, they're giving the gospel and they're doing it to somehow get back at me. And he said, I don't care. The gospel is being preached. I don't let it bother me. What he's also saying here is that those same people, they're still not trustworthy for me. They're not really useful for me when I really need good ministry to happen. I can't trust them. That should be a warning to us to not be satisfied when we're going through the motions and serving God, but we're doing it for the wrong reasons. We shouldn't be satisfied with that because we're not as usable to God as someone like Timothy. Well, what was the difference with Timothy? Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Like those people that are evangelizing for their own purposes, to exalt themselves. The strangest thing, right? Giving the gospel to exalt yourself. The whole purpose of the gospel is to humble ourselves before the Almighty Creator, and because of our sin, humble ourselves and accept Jesus Christ. And Paul says, many seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ, but Timothy is different. Verse 22, you know the proof of him. He's been proven. He looks out for the interests of others. Believers in Philippi, you know that Timothy cares for you. you know that he's looking out for you. He's proven that to you. And that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Timothy had no concern for his own gain. What did he desire? He desired to see the people in the church of Philippi grow spiritually. And thus, his interests reflected those of Jesus Christ. Even as we talked about this morning in following the will of God. When we're following God's will, our desires mesh with God's desires. And Timothy was a walking example of that. He didn't care. He wasn't on the look for his own pride and his own self-exaltation. But he legitimately cared for the people's needs there in Philippi. And he, along with Paul, wanted to make sure that they weren't bickering and grumbling. But they were being a good example in having good gospel ministry. Paul says, I can trust him because I know his heart for you. He wants to see you grow spiritually. That as a son with the Father, he hath served me with the gospel. And what he's saying here is that Timothy was so valuable to these people and to Paul that Paul desired to send him as one that would send a trusted child, an extension of his own ministry, or that like one would send an apprentice who had worked with them for years and now says, now it's your time to minister. I've taught you everything that I know. You go out and you minister effectively. Paul says, he's just like my own son. He's like my right arm. He's an extension of me. I know he'll do you well. Obviously, at the church where we came from, youth ministry was a major focus, teen ministry. And I loved that aspect of ministry. One thing that the Lord helped me to come up with over a number of years was an activity in March called In It to Win It, where we would have guest speakers from the Wilds come. We would have games. They would have multiple sessions where they would speak. We would have dinner. And it was a really great time. But it was a lot of work to set up. And Arden, obviously my oldest, I think since he was 3 or 4, had just this overwhelming desire to be in youth group. He wanted to be a teenager since he was very young. And he looked for any excuse that he could to help me. And so I began to realize that he might be of help to me as I'm setting up. So I was setting up a few days before this event was going to take place a couple years ago. He wasn't in teen group yet, but he wanted to be. So I showed him the different games we were playing. And I said, now when we play this game tomorrow, what I want you to do is, I was sitting on the stage with a microphone to help direct with the speakers so that everybody could hear me. I couldn't run around to show everybody how to play the game. But I could send Arden as an extension of me to run and show everybody, this is the boundaries for this game. And this is the boundaries for this game. And I'm about to explain something here. And now Arden's going to run out and show you where that is. I was using him as an extension, literally, of my authority and who I was to help in ministry. That's a perfect picture of what Paul is doing here with Timothy. He's saying, it's just like having me there. And I hope to send you him soon. But there's a problem. Verse 23, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that also myself shall come shortly. I want to send Timothy to you soon, church in Philippi, but I need him here until I find out what happens in this trial. Am I going to stay in prison or am I going to be released? And I'm hoping, I'm expecting, God has told me that I'm going to be released. But until that actually happens, I need Timothy here with me. But when I find out, I'm immediately going to send him to you, let you know what my status is, let him minister to you, and then hopefully as well, I'll be able to be with you shortly, which is what Paul really wanted. He shows his heart here. He wants to be with the Philippian believers again too, and he's looking forward to that. Timothy was valuable because he was useful. Timothy, his selfless service and his concern for others are what made him of value to all around him. There's another man here, though, young man, that shows us that dedicated, loving service is also of great value. Not just selfless service, but loving service. And Epaphroditus is a young man who shows that he was valuable because of his love and his loving care for other people. Not just selfless, but a sincere, love. And we're going to see how much he loved the people of God as Paul continues here, verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Paul knows that he can't send Timothy right away, but he says, I've got to send Epaphroditus back to you right away because I've got to send you information that you are wondering about and that we know that you need to hear. Well, Epaphroditus, it's a long, interesting name. Probably not going to name any of our children that anytime soon, for young couples especially. Maybe you will. I'm not judging. You could. But it was a name that, as I studied this out, it most likely came from a pagan god in a pagan family where they worshiped the god. Maybe it might have been Aphrodite. And it means honored or good-looking. Not a half-bad name to end up with in life. But it was one that came from an idol worship heritage. Most likely, his family were idol worshipers because of the name and the way that he was named. Even in his name, we can see God's grace that this one that came out of a family that worshiped idols is now a follower of Jesus Christ and is a faithful, valuable servant. It doesn't matter our background, does it? God can use any of us to be valuable servants. There's not a person in here that should look at themselves and say, you know, God just can't use me as much as the other individual because of my background and where my family's come from and what we've done and even my sin and different things. No, God can use you and make you valuable no matter who you are if you're submitted to Him and if you're a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. If you're loving and selfless towards others, God can use you despite your background. Well, Epaphroditus, if you'll remember my timeline that I gave you before, he had brought a financial gift and reported the church to Paul, and he was expected to bring back word from the apostle. But on the way, he got very, very sick. Somebody, most likely, we don't see this in the passage, but it's kind of a logical conclusion that somebody in his group, immediately when they found out that he was so sick, they went back to tell the people, Epaphroditus, something's wrong. Epaphroditus has gotten very sick. And maybe they encourage Epaphroditus to go back with them. Come on, you're too sick to go the whole way. But it seems as if Epaphroditus said, no, I have a mission from God to serve, to bring these things. I've been chosen to do this, to bring these things to Paul and to help him. And I am going to be faithful to my mission. And even though he was very, very ill, he got to Rome. But what happened? The people in Philippi heard that he was sick, but they didn't hear anything else. They didn't know how to bear it. They didn't know if he was still living. And so Paul understands all of this. And so he wants to send Epaphroditus back right away, first and foremost, so the people can see that he's still living, that he survived this illness. But look at how he describes Epaphroditus. Three ways. My brother, he's family to me. He's my brother in Christ. But he's also my companion in labor. He's my co-worker. He's my fellow laborer, my co-worker together for the ministry. And finally, my fellow soldier, idea of a band of brothers. And Epaphroditus is one of those soldiers and really has the picture here of somebody that's been wounded in battle and has God has miraculously healed them. And he's sending him home for rest. This picture of a soldier that's been wounded because of his faithfulness in battle. That's what he means to Paul. But to the people in Philippi, he's your messenger. You sent him with a message for me. And he's very valuable to you. And he did that. And he that ministered to my wants. Now that doesn't mean in the King James it says wants. It has the idea of needs. It doesn't mean that Epaphroditus got there and he was still sick and Paul says, boy, it took you forever to get here, Epaphroditus. Now, I've got this list of things that I want. You go out and get those things for me right away. It's not what this means. What it means is he ministered after he got better to the needs that Paul had, and he provided that love offering that Paul needed that helped Paul at that time. He fulfilled the mission that he was sent to do. He was faithful in that. Continue verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you heard that he had been sick. This is so interesting. Here they are waiting to hear from him. And he's been, and Paul's going to continue to describe how sick that he got. But Epaphroditus wasn't concerned about his own health. He was concerned about something else. That kind of blows my mind. I don't know about you. And again, I'll be perfectly honest here, candid. Maybe you're like me, but when I get sick, I don't like to get sick, first of all. I don't like to get slowed down like that. I don't think any of us do. Maybe there's some personalities that maybe almost not, kind of seem like they enjoy being sick. But for the most of us, I imagine that that's a real burden for us. And it's the same with me. I hate being sick. But when we do get sick many times, we can get so frustrated about the fact that we're laid up, that we can't do our responsibilities, carry out our responsibilities, that we get frustrated, we get irritable, and we're not a lot of fun to be around with the rest of the family members. So let's just be honest. We tend to think only about ourselves. Why did this have to happen to me? I have so much to do. Come on, Lord. And we're praying and we're trying to do whatever we can to get better soon. And that's normal. And that's not necessarily bad. It's going to happen. But here's why this illustration and what Epaphroditus does is so much different. It's amazing what the work that God has done in his life, because he doesn't have that reaction at all. What reaction does he have? He's literally on the verge of death. And he's talking to Paul, maybe, I can imagine this, and Paul's saying, Epaphroditus, you're really sick, you need to do this and this. And he says, yeah, but Paul, I'm so concerned about the people back home, because they know that I'm sick, and I know they're worrying about me, and they don't know what happened to me. And Paul, they're going to be awful worried, and I want them to know. And that was what bothered him. He and Timothy, but especially Epaphroditus, shows how this attitude of looking at others and being selfless and looking for the needs of others continues, and it permeated his character to the point where he was to the point of death and he wasn't even thinking about himself at all. That blows my mind. That puts me in awe of the work that God has done in the life of Epaphroditus. But he can do that in our lives too. Paul says, 27, he says, don't get me wrong, even though Epaphroditus was worried about you, he says, verse 27, understand, he was very sick. And in fact, he was nigh unto death. Epaphroditus almost died. And it was very serious. Paul wants them to understand. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. In a time where there was no modern medicine, no drugs, no real doctors, no emergency rooms, it was an incredible miracle that Epaphroditus survived. And Paul is amazed by this, in awe. He's like, he's saying, you guys, you should have seen how sick he was. It was amazing. And God just cured him. And it was God's mercy involved with this. It was amazing. But we also see Paul's heart here too. Notice that last part. He says, I'm glad for him. But I'm also glad for me. Now, that may sound selfish, but he says, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. What he's saying here, this gives us a window into his suffering where he's basically saying, I have suffered so much already. I have gone through it. And we've heard Paul talking and encouraging us to rejoice in the midst of suffering. But we need to understand there was a human side, obviously, to Paul. He wasn't superhuman. And he's saying here, I've already suffered so much. The last thing I want to do was suffer at the knowledge of my brother's death. And God gave me encouragement by sparing his life. And so because of that, not only was Epaphroditus valuable because of his loving care for others, but he also brought valuable joy to others. And Paul wanted to send him back as quickly as possible so that the people would be joyous, that they wouldn't be worried, and they could celebrate the fact that he was better again. Verse 28, I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Now that he's better, and he was fully recuperated, Paul wasn't going to send him home half recuperated, still with a fever or whatever. He was fully recuperated, and Paul says, Epaphroditus, I know you wanted to stay and see what happened with the outcome of my trial, but that's second. That's of second importance now. You need to get home. People need to know you're okay. I can't call them, and I can't text them and let you know. You've got to go back and let them know. Paul says, I'm sending him back. And he's sending him back with this letter. And when he gets there, he knows that this young man will be of joy to other people. And then Paul says, and it'll make me joyful too, to know that they're joyful. You see how in this whole picture, it's always others-centered. This brings up an important question. And that is, are we this example that Epaphroditus has in that if we're gone for a while or people find out that we're sick, are we really missed? That's kind of something that we all need to ask. Epaphroditus was missed, and there was joy when he returned. But are we so focused on others and showing God's love to others that when we're not here, when we don't show up for church, when we're sick, and of course, as a church family, we're always going to pray for the sick, right? We're always going to do that. And we'll always show that love regardless. But will we be missed if we're gone? That's one way that we know that we're having valuable ministry. When others rejoice, when we're back with them again, we add joy to people's lives because of our presence. Because we're showing the love of Jesus Christ to others. Epaphroditus had that testimony to the people of Philippi. Verse 29. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation or in honor. Paul says, I know you're going to receive him in gladness, but don't forget to show him honor. Not to uplift him, but because of his faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Paul says, he was literally, well, verse 30, let's read that. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. To supply your lack of service for me. Epaphroditus needed to be recognized for the sacrifice he gave on the people's behalf. He was literally willing to give up his life for the cause of Christ. He was an example of what Paul talked about earlier, about the humility of Jesus Christ, who didn't grasp on the things that he had access to or the honor that he deserved, but he let go of it all to serve others. Epaphroditus has learned that lesson well. Paul says, that kind of testimony, that needs to be honored. Because ultimately, Jesus Christ is honored. And then finally, this is interesting, to supply your lack of service toward me. That may sound kind of cold. Paul here is not saying, boy, I'm glad Epaphroditus showed up because you guys have been lacking in your help for a long time. If he hadn't showed up, I wouldn't have gotten any help at all. Now, the way it's worded here has the idea of the fact that Paul missed these people so much that when Epaphroditus came to see him, it kind of made up for the fact that he wasn't able to be with them. Paul is rejoicing in that as well. You see not only the faithfulness in Timothy and Epaphroditus, but the heart of Paul toward other believers. I got to tell you, that's convicting. That convicted me as I was studying for this week. Do I really love people that much? That when someone comes to visit from another ministry, that I'm so excited because it brings back the memories and the joys of what we had together. That love, that close bond that we have in Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, these are young men that are good examples of what we talked about with Jesus' example, about being selfless, and because of that, their service is valuable. People want them around. They're valuable. And I think Paul's also saying, we need to be like that too. There is great joy as we finish here. Understand this. There is great joy in sacrificial ministry for Jesus Christ. It's worth it. There's love, care, concern, appreciation, and a sense of useful purpose. So with all of that, shouldn't we all want to choose to give our lives in service to Jesus. Work together, unified, as we give the gospel. Let's pray that the Lord helps us to have that kind of testimony and that value for Him. Lord, thank You for Your Word. And help us as we go from here. Lord, help us to desire, to want to be like these young men who literally were willing to give up their lives to serve other people and who loved other people so much that even in life-threatening situations, they didn't think about themselves, but they thought about others. Help us to be like that, Lord. It's hard, and yet through the power of Jesus, we can do that. Help us to be faithful, and help us, Lord, as Village Chapel Baptist Church, to be a good example of unity and humility and lack of dissension.